Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, live Los Angeles. The sun is shining coast to coast. We are broadcasting live. We've got a beautiful segment coming your way here, though, right now. Another great segment of Cannabis Healing with Paxton Quigley. Paxton, good morning.
Good morning, Adam, and a big hello to all of our listeners. Today's topic on our show is the medical use of cannabis oil for treating epilepsy. It's a brain disorder that causes horrible, horrible seizures. About 3.4 million people in America suffer from epilepsy. Worldwide, 64 million people, and included in that number are nearly a half million children. Earlier this year, the FDA approved the first cannabis-derived drug for epilepsy. It's called Epidiolex. It's made from CBD. Now, folks, remember about CBD. It's a non-psychoactive chemical compound that's contained in marijuana, which means it does not produce a high or get you stoned. With us today to discuss epilepsy is Dr. Junella Chin. She's a New York City physician who is registered with the New York State Medical Marijuana Program. Dr. Chin treats both children and adults, and she practices what is called integrative and holistic approaches to patient care. Welcome to Cannabis Healing, Dr. Chin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I know I got loads of questions to ask you, and I think the first that we all want to know about is, what is it in cannabis that helps control the epileptic seizures?
So if you think about our own endocannabinoid system, our own cannabis receptors in our body, the CB1 receptor is the largest receptor system in our brain. And, of course, epilepsy, as you know, takes place, you know, in the brain. And CBD has been shown by GW Pharmaceuticals to have a wonderful effect on epilepsy, especially for children, in controlling the seizures, decreasing intensity, frequency, and helping with recovery time.
Now, how do you give it to them? Is it a liquid, or how do you do it?
Yes, so my patients that I've been treating with cannabis medicine usually opt for a tincture, so an oil form of cannabis. You adults, of course, can use the smokable form, but children usually use the tincture form because they're not inhaling it.
So do you put it on their tongues? Where do you put it?
So some, it really depends. If some children are open to it, they're a little bit older, they will take it directly into the mouth. Sometimes parents will hide it in foods or smoothies.
Really? Now, how many times a day, and is it also in the evening, that a child will take this tincture?
So the most important thing to realize is it's not a one-size-fits-all, and it really depends on the child, what type of seizure disorder they have. We work closely with the neurologist, with the child's neurologist, to develop a clear treatment plan. We also, of course, it depends on how often the child has seizures. Is the child going to school? Is it affecting behavior? Things like that. So we develop a treatment plan based on what's practical for administration, both for the parents and the child, and how often the seizures is and how it's affecting their day-to-day life.
Now, I understand that the school system, I don't know if it's all school systems, but in New York, you can't give the child the medication. It's illegal. So what does a child do in a case like that?
That's true.
If he or she needs it. Can you give
us
an example of that? I know I saw a tape in which it was a young boy named Aiden. And can you tell people at least how he works it out?
So the parents have to take a trip to the school. Well, let's say Aiden is taking his seizure medications four times a day, and those midday doses are while he's at school. The parents have to, at their lunch hour or at their break, rush to the school, bring Aiden out, find Aiden out of the school, administer the medication, find him back into school, and then they repeat that process every day while he's in school. So it's quite disruptive for the parents and their work environment and their lives, as well as for the child. It's very ineffective.
Now, do you know, is this true across the United States? Are there any school systems that are allowing the kid to take it by himself, or perhaps a nurse in the school to give it?
Not that I know of, unless maybe perhaps if it's a private school or a private setting. I know that sometimes they do allow that, but for most public school settings, it is not allowed because it's still a federally regulated substance.
Interesting. Now, how did you discover the benefits of cannabis oil?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, how did you discover the benefits of cannabis oil?
Well, for me, it was being at the right place at the right time. I was in medical school in San Francisco shortly after it was legalized, and one of my attendings introduced me to the world of medical cannabis.
I see. Did you have any problems yourself in terms of needing it or anything like that?
Yes, I was actually diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis at a very young age during my teenage years.
What does that mean? Because I'm sure most of our listeners don't know the meaning.
Of course. Ankylosing spondylitis is a progressive arthritic disease that affects the spine. And what ends up happening is the bones start to fuse together. And it's almost like it's crazy glued. It becomes immobile. You very have difficulties rotating, extending, or flexing, basically moving. And there are very few options out there except for opiates, muscle relaxants, sometimes surgery, immunosuppressive drugs, you know, drugs that they use for chemo patients. And I would wear a back brace all the time. As a med student, I had the brace on while I was working in the hospital, and I rarely took any medication because I didn't want to feel altered, you know, of course, as I was training to be a physician. And one of my attendings, he was a specialist in HIV and AIDS, and he started talking to me about medical cannabis and how it could work for chronic pain patients. He didn't call it CBD oil at that time, but he said there were different strains of the cannabis plant that didn't have the same psychoactive effect as a recreational user would find. And that is where it all began. I found relief using the CBD oil. It didn't affect me in my medical school training. It didn't affect me in my studies. So I made it a point to learn everything I could about this plant medicine.
So before then, were you taking all sorts of painkillers?
I tried everything. At a young age, we went through conventional medication because that's what the pain specialist and the PM&R, the physical medicine and rehabilitation doctor would recommend. So, of course, I did physical therapy. I did epidurals, like trigger point injections. We went through, maybe three or four different anti-inflammatory medications like Celebrex, all sorts of narcotics, low-dose narcotics was given to me as well. And it was a difficult road until I finally found a plant-based medicine that worked.
And so are you saying today that you are off all of those drugs and basically you're on CBD oil?
Yes, and I don't even need to use the CBD oil daily. I actually only use it maybe towards the end of the week if I'm very tired, if I've done something strenuous. But I've taken down my inflammation so low that I don't really need regular CBD oil. Now, of course, I do have to maintain a healthy lifestyle with diet and exercise. Don't get me wrong, it's not just about the CBD oil. But the CBD oil was able to help me decrease the inflammation and pain so much that I could add other things in my life that could help me with my spinal pain and my progressive arthritis.
It's amazing to hear that, and I've been hearing that from other people who have really almost gone off all of the pharmaceutical drugs and are using CBD oil. I assume that in your practice, since you work with children, you also work with adults and also will often tell them to get CBD oil.
Yes, I work with children and adults. My practice is about 50-50. And it doesn't work for everyone, but if it turns the volume down on pain and inflammation, I'll take that any day.
Now, I want to ask you, it sounds like a miracle drug, but how come it doesn't work on some people? Do you know that?
Yeah, well, I think with any herbal, preparation, pharmaceutical medication, there's never a one-size-fits-all. You have to look at the patient's state of health. You know, there might be other things that gets in the way, other comorbidities, maybe diabetes or high blood pressure. Sometimes it's a surgery where the patient has a hip replacement or a knee replacement.
Wow.
And there's only so much you can do to take away the inflammation, but the structure, the physiology has changed so much that we can only, like I said, turn the volume down on the pain and inflammation, but not get rid of it completely.
That's so interesting. I'm sorry that we don't have any more time, but thank you so much for sharing your story. Can you tell our listeners your website and how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. My website is Dr. June Chen, D-R, June, like the month of June, and Chen, like the chin on your face, .com. And I have research articles on there about CBD, how to talk to your doctor about CBD. I have patients that call me all the time about how to approach their physician. And sometimes I'll even talk to their physician if they're willing to learn about cannabis medicine and how to integrate it with their patient and in their practice.
Oh, that's terrific. Thank you. And for all of you out there, please stay in touch on Twitter and Facebook at Cannabis Healing with Paxton Quigley. And until next week, stay healthy and balanced. I'm Paxton Quigley.